Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to continue in our series entitled Never Alone. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And how many would agree that there are times in life where this world can kind of be a pretty lonely place, where we're just kind of feeling alone? We would agree with that. There again, we're not necessarily talking about those times when we just like to get away and have some what we call at our house quiet time, where we just kind of get alone and we kind of just are refreshed and kind of unwind and recharge, because we believe that's a vital part of a healthy routine. But when we're talking about alone, we're talking about actually being alone, feeling in the sense of feeling isolated from people. God said that's not good. And so we've been looking at his plan for us so that we don't have to be alone. Isn't that awesome that God loves us so much that he has created a plan for each and every one of us to not have to be alone? And so I want to dig into that just a little bit more today, into God's plan, as we look at a simple message that we've entitled Family. Today we're just going to talk a little bit about family, and I want to focus on this thought that I'll never walk alone. Got a question for you. Have you ever found yourself in a place you're just kind of surrounded by people, and yet, though there's all kinds of people around you, you still feel alone? Isn't that kind of the weirdest thing? I mean, there's everybody's around you, and yet you're standing there, and you're just kind of processing this, and you're just kind of thinking, man, even though everybody's all around me, I still kind of feel alone. It's almost as if we're kind of out of place. We feel kind of isolated. You know what I mean? And we understand that God has created us to live in community, and yet here we are with people all around us, and we just can't escape that feeling of being alone. In Genesis chapter 2, God's been pretty busy up to this point. I mean, he's accomplished. You talk about getting a lot done. God has been getting a lot done. I'm telling you right now. I mean, he has been very busy reestablishing order in the earth, and he's replaced darkness with beautiful light. We don't see a whole lot of that today because of the rain, but we still have beautiful light. And he replaced all of the emptiness and the chaos with this beautiful earth that was in total balance. Thousands of different species of animals and plant life and ocean life and so on. And then we find that he's created this fella that he calls Adam, and he's placed him in this garden called Eden. And so in Genesis chapter 2, all this has been done. And now let's pick up in verse 19. And so here's what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 2 and 19. You with me? Shout amen.
Amen.
Let's do it. Okay. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. So up to this point, everything's going pretty cool. No problems. You know, Adam is naming the animals. You know, things are going pretty good, and he's tending to the garden, and he's just going about his normal routine up to this point. And what's interesting is that he's literally surrounded by all of these living creatures, all these living things. But then the Bible says this, but for Adam, there was no suitable helper for him. Interesting. For Adam, there was no suitable, some translations say comparable, helper that was found for him. So in spite of being surrounded by living things, for Adam specifically, there was something missing. in this beautiful picture, in all the things that's going on round about him, something was missing. Something wasn't in its place. Have you ever heard this phrase, there's a place for everything and everything in its place? You ever heard that? In our home growing up, mom taught us that there was a place for everything, and everything, I'm going to add quotes here, better be in its place. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Dad used to joke that when he'd get up at night sometimes to use the restroom, when he'd come back, his half of the bed would be made, you know, because mom was just that neat. You know what I mean? And we'd all laugh about it. But if you ever been to my mom's house, you'd understand that she's always, in spite of having those kids, six of them to be exact, plus every Tom, Dick, and Harry, our house was like a revolving door. You ever see that door that just revolves in front of Macy's? Well, we had kind of like that. You know what I mean? Just, we always had people coming and going. And in spite of all that, Mom always kept a clean house. This is the reason why, is because there was a place for everything, and everything made it back to its place. And so, in spite of that, Mom never minded me playing with my toys. As long as, when I was done, they would get put back. That's all she asked me to do. When I was done, just put them back. And so there would be times when something would come up missing. And I couldn't find it, but I wanted it. And so when I would go to Mom and I would ask if she could help me find this particular thing, inevitably, she would ask me this very simple question. She would start out by saying, did you put it back? Of course, we both know that I didn't, because I never did, right? And so it was kind of inevitable. But there again, that's beside the point. The point was that there was something that wasn't in its place. So it was missing. Well, for Adam, everything else was in place. I mean, the earth is in perfection at this point. And everything is in its place. And yet, there was something that was missing. I think sometimes as we go through life, we can find ourselves kind of in that same position. Everything seems to be in place. We look around and we see living things, people. We see life as it's going on, and we see all of these things that are in place, and yet there are times where we still feel alone. And I believe that the reason is simply because there's something missing. And so we may not necessarily be able to put our finger on it. I'm glad God knows exactly what is missing in our lives. And I'm glad that He knows exactly what to do. Look at this, verse 18. God said this. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. So God sees the problem, but He's got a solution. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Has anybody ever come to you and asked you for some advice and you honestly had no idea what to do? I know that I have. And I am searching, and I find myself doing this the older that I get, that when someone comes and maybe has a question, or I have a question and I'm not sure what to do, I find myself sooner now than later going and asking the one who always has the answer, Jesus. Because God always knows exactly what we need, but also He knows exactly what to do about our need. And so He says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And so the Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman, and He brought her to the man. So you see, because something was missing in Adam's life, God loved him so much that He did not want to leave him there. He did not want Adam to be alone. And so something's created. God creates for Adam exactly what was missing, and He brings her to Adam. What a day that must have been when God presents Adam to Eve. and Eve to Adam. So the Bible says in verse 23, Adam, here's what he says. He says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she'll be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, notice what he says. "Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So as God is presenting Eve to Adam, Adam says something that's very interesting. He actually speaks prophetically, because if you think about it, you know, he's kind of the first guy. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a belly button. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see it, but I'm just thinking everybody else does. But, you know, he's so how does he know about the mom and the dad thing? I mean, how you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying, right? So he's speaking prophetically here that a man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife. And here's what he says. He says this, and this is very prophetic. He says, "And we two shall become" what? "One." "These two shall become one." So there again, as part of God's great plan, and God is with me, so I'll never have to be alone. Now God adds this incredibly tangible dimension to his plan. He puts feet to his plan, flesh to his plan. And he presents her to Adam. And Adam says, "Now we two will become one." In other words, I'm not going to have to walk this life alone. There'll be someone comparable to me that I can experience life, that I can walk life. Now he'd have somebody that would be at his side and be able to walk with him in this life. And I believe that that's God's plan for us as well. Because he loves us so much, God created family. He created this group of people that we could walk together. What an incredible thought that we wouldn't have to experience life alone, that we wouldn't have to walk through this life alone, but that we could walk together and we could experience all God and his goodness with someone. I realize that the context of this scripture is husband and wife. I get that. And I understand that there are some who are not married, or some who've lost their spouse. Their spouse has passed. Or maybe your family lives a long ways away. You might even be in a situation to where your family is what we would call estranged. The devil has kind of done some work and kind of has divided you and your family. And there's been some hurt there. And there's some separation there. And it's in a rough situation. But you know what's so wonderful about God's plan is that regardless of our particular situations, God's plan for us is still the same. That he doesn't want us to walk alone. But God's plan for us is to have a core group, I guess, if you will. Maybe that inner circle that God has called us to walk with and to do life together with. So here's the question. Why in the world does God do that? Why does he have people? Now, I'm not talking about just acquaintances. I'm not talking about just the people that you know. I'm talking about a close group of people that you do life with, that you walk with, that you experience life with. Why does God want us to do that? I believe it's because there's something needed in our lives. Let's there again go back to that scenario that we've all been in. When you're in that group of people and yet you're feeling alone and you just can't get over that feeling. And so if you're like me, you know, when you kind of feel that way, then I kind of start looking for a corner to where I can kind of just kind of back myself up in the corner and I could just kind of hide because, you know, you kind of feel awkward a little bit. And so, you know, you just kind of want to maybe disappear. But then as you're looking over the crowd, all of a sudden, somebody walks in that you know. What happens? What happens in that moment, more than likely, is we begin to start feeling a little bit better. We start feeling maybe a little bit more confident. You know, we start kind of feeling like things aren't quite as awkward anymore. Why is that? You know, it's because we got somebody that we know. Somebody that we have history with. Somebody that we've kind of had some experience with, if you will. We've got common ground. They've been there with me. And do you know what happens? That helps us to the point to where them just being there gives us the courage it takes to finish out whatever we've gone in, whatever situation we may, and that's just maybe just a social gathering or something. You know what I mean? But all of a sudden we feel better just because somebody that we know is there. Well, what about life? When it comes to doing life and walking out what God has called us to do, we need family. We need that core group of people for the same reason, because they're that support system that we need that will not only help us to get through life each day, but to help us to accomplish that higher purpose that we have in the earth. There's this idea, if you will, that they'll just kind of give us that booster shot. You know what I mean? To help us just to kind of get over. Has there ever been a day when you needed just a little bit to get you over? Come on now. I mean, I'm talking just a little bit to kind of just get you over, to get you to that next place. Yeah. Well, you see, in the earth, God, when he created Adam, God created him to be the apex of his creation. God invested the most into Adam, the ability to choose right from wrong. He gave him the ability to think at a much higher level, to problem solve at a much higher level, to create and to build at a much higher level. Do you know that God gave Adam the ability to imagine? Do you know how powerful it is to be able to imagine? The ability to be able to hope. I mean, these are powerful things that God invested into Adam. Why did he do that? Look at Genesis chapter 1 and 27 with me. Check this out. The Bible says this: God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And here we see this. Look, check this out. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, God invested the most into Adam because Adam had a higher calling. He had a higher calling to the point to where God had placed him steward over literally everything else. And because of that, he couldn't do it alone, and neither can we. You see, we need a helper at this kind of level that God has called us to be, one that the Bible says is suitable for us. It's important for us to remember as we're going through life that we always need to be mindful that God's plan is always going to be bigger than my context. What I'm in right now, what I'm seeing right now, what I'm going through right now, God always has something bigger, if you will, a higher calling. We always talk about the bigger picture around here, that it's just not our context, but because God is working, yes, individually, but also corporately to see his will accomplished in the earth, there's so much more that's happening at levels that we can't even comprehend, let alone see. And so because of that, we have to be mindful of the fact that God always has a plan that's going to be bigger than my context. So I'm always going to need him to accomplish the higher calling. Not only him, but all the help that he gives. Who does that help come from? It comes from people around us, from that core group of people that we're talking about. There's always going to be a higher calling than just making it through today. Have you ever just kind of put your head down and you're just not looking anywhere because, and you're just going through emotions because you just want to get through today? If I could just get home, get my shoes off, and turn the TV on, everything will seem to be okay. You know, there's more to life than just that. Amen. Even though some days we feel that way, there's that higher calling. And because of that, we're going to need family. We're going to need that group of people that will console us when we're down and care for us when we need help. But also, you know what they'll do? They'll also correct us when we're wrong. They'll challenge us when we're settling. They'll help us to get through, and we'll do the same for them. So there again, as a team, if you will, even in the hardest of times, because we're walking together and because we're working together, we can still accomplish God's will no matter what comes our way, because we're together, because we're not walking alone. You might be here today and you might be saying to yourself, you know, Pastor, that's all great, but I don't feel like I have that. How can I get that? How can I have that? In our text, there's just three quick things that I want to close out today with to encourage you. That if you don't feel like you have that core of people in your life, there's some things that you can do that will help you. Number one, just like Adam did, keep doing God's will. Adam is just going about his life. He's just doing his deal, naming the animals, tending to the garden, and so on. And what happened? God brought him Eve. God brought him that thing that was missing in his life. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6 and verse 8. He said, you know that your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And you know the cool thing about it is that God is faithful to not withhold any good thing that you need to accomplish his will in the earth. And so when he begins to bring those people into your life, number two, be open to them. When he brought Eve to him, Adam was open and received God's help for him. You know, sometimes we're just so used to being alone that when somebody else comes in, we don't really have place for them. We're just so used to making all the decisions. We're just so used to plowing just by ourselves that we forget that there's another handle on the side of that plow that can help us. And so in those times when God brings people, we need to be open to receive what God has for us. Sometimes, yes, we have to be vulnerable, especially if there's correction needed or they're challenging us because we've been settling for so long and it's just because we're just trying to get through today. No, you don't understand the context of my life and what it's taken just to get me to here. No, we may not understand that, but we know there's better. Let us help you get there. Be open to those people God brings into your life. And finally, number three, agree. Adam simply said, though we're two, we're going to become one. We're going to be a team. The Bible says, do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so. Don't isolate yourself. So many times, there again, we get so accustomed to certain things that we isolate ourselves from people. Don't do that, but agree to be a team. Agree to walk together. Agree to work together. You know what? Agree to help people to experience all that God has for them and for you. And you'll be amazed at what God will do for you in your life.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.